What up, what up, what up, ladies and gents, boys and girls, you are now tuned in to a brand new episode of Sportsway with Dre Day Podcast. I am your host with the most, the Hood's ESPN, Crystal Street's golden boy, Dre Day. What's up, what's up, what's up? This is episode 299, episode 299 of Sportsway with Dre Day Podcast. I want to thank everybody once again for their continued support. Keep it going, keep it flowing. This episode here, a little controversy. Well, it's not really a little controversy, but you know, in sports, you know, they have this thing where you win a championship and, you know, especially in the U.S., you know, they're crowned the world champions, like the world champions and whatnot. Well, a track and field star basically had a issue with that. And I've been seeing a lot of people have their opinions about it or whatnot. So I felt the need to say, you know what? Let me give my own little assessment on it or whatnot. So we're going to do that. I'm going to do some WNBA talk, of course. You know, I can't leave my girls out. You know, I got to find some space for them on this episode to, you know, speak about them. Congrats are in order to New York Mets legends, Dwight Gooden and Daryl Strawberry. I want to, you know, give them their flowers as well on this episode. Undisputed has returned. Earlier this week, they made their return. So, you know, again, being a fan of the show, I have to give my early assessment of what I have seen so far with the new format of Undisputed. And we're going to close this episode with a tribute. I'm not going to do the would you rather question on this episode. We're going to end this with a tribute to a falling legend in wrestling that I'm going to give a tribute to before we end this episode. But again, world champion, right? When a baseball team wins the championship, you know, they don't say MLB champion. They don't say the year or world, you know, the 2023 MLB champion. No, they say the 2023 world champion. Whoever comes out and wins the championship this year, that's what it's going to say. It won't be the Yankees, but that's neither here nor there. The NBA just ended in June. The Denver Nuggets, they were called the 2023 NBA world champions, okay? The Kansas City Chiefs, they won the Super Bowl, and they called them the 2022 NFL world champions, right? So a whole lot of rumbling has been going on this past few days, or even last week for that matter. Track star Noah Lyles, who is a part of the USA track and field team. Congratulations to them, by the way, the men and the women, the US track and field teams, because they are overseas right now and they have been winning 100-meter races and 200-meter races. So I definitely want to congratulate both track and field teams, the men and women from the USA team. But about Noah Lyles, he made quite an impression on the podium when he made some very interesting statements about, you know, winning gold and stuff like that. And basically, he was basically got on a podium and said some crazy stuff, in my opinion, about, you know, the term world champion. He basically was bumping his gums after winning, you know, a world championship. He was basically completing a triple win at the World Championship Games in Budapest, right? He was also, you know, at the podium talking his shit. And then it just took a turn. And he was like that, you know what hurts me the most is that I have to watch the NBA Finals and they have world champion on their head. Like, you know, when they, you know, give the team, you know, their championship appeal, you know, whether it's the world champion shirt, the world champion towel, or the world championship hat, that's basically what he's implying. He's basically saying what hurts me the most is that I have to watch the NBA Finals and they have world champion on their head. World champion of what? The United States? Don't get me wrong, I love the U.S. at times. I agree with him on that, at times. But that ain't the world. That is not the world. We are the world. We have almost every country out here fighting, thriving, putting their flag to show that they are represented. There ain't no flags in the NBA. That's basically what he said. Now, a lot of people in the NBA had a lot to say about this. Plenty of players responded to what he said. You know, KD said something. Dame Lillard said something. Aaron Gordon said that he'll smoke him in a 200 meter. What is it? One of the Jones brothers. I don't know if it was I don't know if it was Trey or Titus, but one of them said, "Yeah, this ain't it." Udonis Haslam said, "Big fan, but gone with the bullshit." You know, basically shit like that. So a lot of people have had their opinions on what he said. Now I'm gonna give my opinion on it, and this is just my honest opinion. I can see where he's coming from. I definitely can see where he's coming from, because when you think world champion, like when it comes to the like competition, whether it's in the World Championships or the Olympics, you are competing against the world. Am I correct? Like, you have all these collective people representing their country in this one setting for a championship, whether it's track and field, whether it's gymnastics, whether it's swimming, whether it's basketball, whatever the case may be. From a world championship and Olympic standpoint, I get where the world champion thing will come into play. Okay. As far as the NBA goes, I can see where they feel they're called world champions as well, because from the aspect of you have some of the best players in the world playing in the NBA. Everybody wants to make it to the NBA. Everybody. You have players international, like some of the best players in the league right now are international players. Whether it's Luka, Giannis, Joel Embiid, Joker, a lot of our great players right now in the league are represented a la world because they're not from the United States. They're from other countries, right? I understand the technicality of his argument. I do. But I also understand that the rest of the world gets it. and they understand that the best competition in the world is in the NBA, in the National Basketball Association. If you are a true champion, you want to play against the best competition. The rest of these worlds, these clubs, they can't compete. They can't compete with the NBA. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're G League, they're development leagues compared to the NBA. So I kind of I definitely understand where he's coming from. I just think, listen, you sat up on that podium and you got too carried away for yourself, in my honest opinion. Like you said what you said, you won your medal or you won your world championship, and then you got up there and you was in your feelings. So I kind of understand where he's coming from. I kind of do, kind of don't. Both sides can be right. You know what I'm saying? In my honest opinion, I think both sides could be right. He has a right to feel his way about, you know, the NBA shouldn't be considered world champion. I can see the aspect of where the NBA could be considered a world champion. So I see it from both, you know, I see, you know, the spectrum on both sides. That's basically my only assessment with it. Like, I can't really dive into it that much. I can only give my honest opinion on it. And I believe, like, both sides can be true. Noah Lyles has a point. And, you know, the players that spoke out and said their piece, and anybody that feels like the NBA or, you know, the teams in the U.S. that win the championship, they have the right to be considered world champions, because the best players in the world, we represent the best players in the world. The NFL, we represent the best players in the world, okay? NBA, we represent the best players in the world, whether we're from the States or internationally, we have the best players in the world. Baseball, same way. The best players in the world, they want to make their way into Major League Baseball. They want to make their way there. So all of these sports in the United States, when those teams win those championships, in my honest opinion, I believe they have the right to be considered world champions because they are the best in the world at what they do. At the end of the day, if you ask any international player what their dream is to come to the States and play for that respective sport. If you go to the Dominican Republic, which is very well invested in baseball, very much, like, baseball is a religion out there in Dominican Republic. If you ask those young kids who play baseball barefooted in the sand and throw rocks or whatever the case may be, or whatever it is to play baseball, if you ask them what their ultimate dream is to come to the United States and play in Major League Baseball. Best believe it. The same thing could be said for the kids in Cuba. Same thing for the teenagers in Cuba or Dominican Republic or Puerto Rico or Venezuela or Panama. If you ask those kids what their dream would be, it would be to come to the United States to play Major League Baseball. It don't matter what team, as long as they fulfill their dream and play Major League Baseball. The same thing could be said about basketball. You go to these foreign countries, they idolize our American players. They idolize the Kobes. They idolize the LeBrons. They idolize Steph Curry. They idolize Jordan. They idolize Magic and Bird. If you ask them what their dream is, it would be to come to the U.S. and make it to the NBA and play in the National Basketball Association. It's that simple. So I believe both sides can be true. I definitely believe both sides can be true. I believe Noah has a point, and I believe the other side is right as well, as far as American teams, you know, being crowned world champions. I definitely understand that aspect as well. Both sides can be right. So I'm not on neither side, but I definitely believe both sides can be true. I believe he has a point. I just think that he, you know, you shouldn't talk down on the NBA like, oh, it's a bad thing that they're called world champions, when in reality, they generate a lot of money worldwide, you know? So that alone gives a reason on why they should be considered world champions. Like, I'm using the NBA as an example because that's what he said. He said NBA Finals. You know, he didn't say Super Bowl. He didn't say World Series, but I'm using the NBA as an example. But at the same token, I'm also going to mention all the other sports when I believe that world champion goes hand in hand. I believe it goes hand in hand in Olympics. I believe it goes hand in hand in world championships. And I believe it goes hand in hand in any professional sport in the United States. So there you have it. I believe both sides can be right for sure. WNBA talk. The New York Liberty have just taken the regular season tiebreaker from the Las Vegas Aces. They have played 5 times this season. And, well, technically 4 because, you know, the Commissioner Cup, you know, championship, it didn't count in the settings. But for me, fuck it. That shit counts, all right? And the Aces lost to the Liberty on Monday, 94-85. The Aces have 31 wins. They're the first team in history to record 30 wins during a season. They're 31-6. The Liberty is 28-7. And again, they have taken the tiebreaker from the New York Liberty. I will say this. The WNBA Finals is a best of 5 series, right? If through the grace of God, if all the stars of the universe line up and we get an Aces-Liberty WNBA Finals matchup, I'm hoping to God it goes 5 games. I don't want it to be a gentleman's sweep. I don't want it to be a sweep. I want all 5 games to be played in that WNBA Finals. Because if we can get that, that might probably go down as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, WNBA Finals in recent history, in my opinion. So I'm definitely pulling for this matchup in the WNBA Finals because, listen, the postseason is about to happen. It's about to take place. And again, you know, they won the regular league series. They won the regular season series 3-2. They won it 3-2. Tiebreaker. The Aces won the first matchup. The Liberty won the second matchup. I remember the second matchup. I was there personally and watched them get smoked. Then the Liberty won the Commissioner's Cup. Then the Aces won on their house. And now the Liberty won the last one in the Garden this past week. Well, on Monday. So I'm definitely pulling for this matchup in the WNBA Finals. My only hope is that if this happens, Candace Parker will be available for that game. I think, honestly, I think the June 29th game was the only game she played. I think that was the only one that she played in this matchup. I think that's the only one that she played. All the other 4, she was hurt. So if these two wind up colliding in the championship, because honestly, that's the only way they're playing each other. They're not going to play each other in the second round. They're not going to play each other in the first round, obviously, because they're the 2 best teams. The only way that these 2 teams are going to collide in the WNBA postseason is if they match up in the finals. That is the only way they're playing each other, because the Aces is number one and the Liberty are number two. Now, here's the crazy part. There's a couple of games left in the WNBA. There's a couple of games left. It's a couple of games to go. The Aces got three more games to go in this season. It is not, it's not a clear out conclusion that the Aces have the best record overall. The Aces got three games left. The Liberty have five games left. If the Liberty was to win out on all their games, they play the Sun on Friday. Then they got the Sky. Then they got the Wings. Then they got the Sparks, and then they got the Mystics. If they can win out all those games, let's just say they win out all those games, and then let's say the Aces, who has three games left, they got the Storm on September 2nd. Then they got damn near a week off, and then they play the Mercury on the 8th. Back-to-back, actually. Back-to-back, but different houses, different buildings. Their last two games is against the Mercury. One in Phoenix and one in Vegas. If the Aces wind up losing one of those games and the Liberty went out, who's to say that the Aces don't fall to the number two seed? And then the Liberty get home court advantage throughout the playoffs. Remember, they got the tiebreaker. So not for nothing, it's not a sure thing that the Aces clinch home court advantage throughout the playoffs. I'm just saying. The Liberty can somehow still get home court advantage. All they would need is for the Aces to lose one game and they went out and they got the number one seed. That's it. But this race for the playoffs is going to be interesting. I mean, that last seed is going to be very interesting. It's looking like it's going to be between Chicago and Los Angeles. I mean, both teams have losing records. Both teams are currently 15-21, but one of those teams are going to get a playoff spot with the losing record. One of those teams are going to get in, whether it's Chicago or the Sparks. It's looking like the Mercury is probably going to mess around and get the number one seed. And if they get that number one seed for the 2024 WNBA draft, I think it's safe to say that the Caitlin Clark sweepstakes will open up, because it's clear she is going to be the number one overall pick next year in the 2024 WNBA draft. Because it's looking like either Phoenix, Seattle, or Indiana. Because, again, the season's not over yet. You know, Phoenix has the worst record, 9-27. Seattle and Indiana both have 11 wins. So they can somehow mess around and fall as well. But we're going to see, though. We definitely going to see. I'm very interested to see how the rest of this season play out. We got a few more games to go for the WNBA season. So I'm very much excited to see how this is going to play out. But again, the Liberty have the momentum against the Aces. They just do. And I'm very much intrigued to see how this is going to play out. But I just hope both teams is full strength, meaning that Candace is back for that matchup if they was to meet in the WNBA Finals. Now, congratulations are in order. Now, listen. If I'm giving them their flowers, then that tells you I like them. Because, I mean, let's be real. I'm not a Mets fan at all. I am a Yankee fan. Diehard Yankee fan. But the Mets are from New York. So I want to shed love to them in some way, somehow. And listen, both New York teams have been abysmal this year. You know, the Yankees have been a disappointment. The Mets have been a disappointment. But something positive has come out of this season for the New York Mets. It was announced a few weeks ago, probably a week or two ago, that next year, the 2024 season, two numbers will be retired at Citi Field. And I believe those two numbers are rightfully deserving to be retired. And that would be number 18 and number 16. Number 16 was worn by Doc Dwight Gooden. Okay? 1984 National League Rookie of the Year. 1985 National League Cy Young winner. He was a four-time All-Star, and he was a part of the 1986 World Championship team of the New York Mets. Yep, that was the last time they won a championship. I wasn't even 1 year old yet. I might have been a few days away from being 1 year old the last time the Mets won a World Series. And now we get to Daryl Strawberry, 1983 National League Rookie of the Year. Seven-time All-Star with the Mets. Two-time Silver Slugger. And again, he was also a part of the 1986 World Championship run for the New York Mets. So number 16 and number 18, both will be forever enshrined in Mets history as their numbers will be hung at Citi Field. I was getting ready to say Shea Stadium. I forgot it's not called Shea Stadium anymore. But as an aside, I will say that they also won championships with the Yankees in 96. I just had to say it. I had to do it. Because, yes, they had stints with the Yankees. Dwight Gooden had a no-hitter with the Yankees. I believe it was 95, if I'm not mistaken. I believe in 95, he had pitched a no-hitter for the Yankees. So, you know, I had to throw that in there. So, congratulations to both Dwight Gooden and Daryl Strawberry for having their numbers enshrined in Mets history next year. Not this year, next year. I mean, honestly, in my opinion, this shit should have been happened. I believe it was like, I think it was like a 30 for 30 documentary that they had on Daryl Strawberry and Dwight Gooden a few years ago. That was the time when they should have did this shit. But I'm glad they got it right and they were able to do this and able to put this together while they're still here. I mean, let's knock on wood that nothing happens to them, you know, next year or even this year. And hopefully that they're around physically to see those numbers hung up in Citi Field. So again, congratulations to Dwight Gooden and Daryl Strawberry. Congratulations to both of those Met legends. Congratulations to both of them. Now, Undisputed. Yes, the debate show has returned. It returned earlier this week. Listen. Monday morning, for those that watch Undisputed, Undisputed comes on at 9:30, right? I made sure my alarm was set at 9:20 because I wanted to make sure I was up to see the first See the Return episode, right? Skip Bayless gets on there and just chalking at it. Good morning. How about that Lil Wayne intro, which is the new song, by the way. Then he had the nerve to say this was the greatest morning of his career. I'm like, Skip, come on, stop with the capping. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is not the greatest morning of your career. Just stop it. Like, okay, I get that, you know, you assembled your dream team. This is your new regime. But for us as the fans, true fans of the show, we can see through that bullshit. It wasn't the greatest morning of your career. You know, you just let the emotion get the best of you. You know, you introduced Keyshawn Johnson, which was a hell of an introduction. You introduced Richard Sherman, which was a hell of an introduction. You introduced the playmaker Michael Irvin, which was a hell of an introduction. And then we get to the show. And this was only just, you know, I believe it was only just that episode where Skip basically got demoted to a moderator. Like, on that first episode, he was barely able to get a word in. Keyshawn, Richard Sherman, and Michael Irvin basically took over that show. To the point, if you paid attention to that episode, Skip was looking a little agitated, I might say, because he wasn't able to get a word in. So I found it funny, but then what I also found funny was seeing it in real time. It's like, yo, damn. You had to bring three dudes on this show to replace just one person. You know what I'm saying? Like, it took you to get three people to replace one Shannon Sharp. That right there tells you how great he was to the show. Because again, I said this for weeks now in previous episodes. When Undisputed stopped after the NBA Finals, Skip went on a 2-month hiatus. 2 months. Because he couldn't find nobody to co-host alongside him. You know, there was rumors of Shady McCoy. There was rumors of Emmanuel Oucho. There was rumors of Joy Taylor. There was rumors of Rob Parker, Chris Bassard, Nick Wright. All these names, right? Then they were saying that how they was having a hard time finding somebody. Some people didn't want to work with him. Yada, yada, yada. Then it was announced August 28th was the day it makes his return. Then the rumor came out that Richard Sherman was going to be the co-host. Then it was announced that he was only going to be on there for 50 to 100 days. Then it was announced that Keyshawn was going to be there. Then it was announced Michael Irvin was going to be there. Then it was announced that Rachel Nichols will be, you know, like his NBA insider, you can say, right? I've seen a good 3 episodes since the return. And my ultimate assessment is this. Out of the 3 people that he brought on that show, which is Keyshawn, Sherman, and Michael Irvin, this is my honest opinion, I think the best fit on that show is Keyshawn. I believe so. And just not for nothing, man. Let's be real. So the people that say, oh, you know, Skip is copying Stephen A's format. No. Skip had the same format when he was on First Take. In fact, I take it a step further. He had this format when he used to be on Cold Pizza. He would have a plethora of people come on the show and give their assessment for their respected topic. So Skip is doing nothing different than what he did when he was on ESPN. I just find it fitting that it had to take you to get 3 people to replace one person. That's how beloved, that's how special Uncle Shay was on that show. That you had to get 3 people to replace him. That's crazy. But I think, in my honest opinion, I think the best fit so far from what I've seen is Keyshawn Johnson. In my honest opinion. Because when you have all three of them around Skip, they're all talking over each other. Of course, you know Michael Irvin is going, he's going to be doing his yelling and talking like a preacher, which I find comical. But for the most part, Skip is not able to get a word in when all three of them is on the show. You understand what I'm saying? So, what was it? Thursday. I watched Undisputed in its entirety. You had Skip up there, you had Keyshawn Johnson up there, and then it just so happens Emmanuel Oucho was on the show. I think that might have been my favorite episode so far since the return of Undisputed. I believe Thursday's show was probably my favorite out of all the shows. And then you add Rachel Nichols to the fold, you know, when she was giving her NBA, when she was giving her NBA talk, I even heard her speaking some NFL stuff. So for me, being that Undisputed doesn't have a moderator, I'm okay with just Keyshawn, Rachel Nichols, and Skip. I'm okay with that. Like, if that was to be the permanent, you know, the permanent spot, I believe I would not mind seeing Skip, Rachel Nichols, and Keyshawn Johnson as the core three of that. And then, you know, have Michael Irvin and Richard Sherman and what's my dude name? Oucho, Irvin, Sherm, have all those guys come in for a segment here or there. But I think the core three should be Skip, Keyshawn, and Rachel Nichols. That's just my honest opinion. And then I heard that former ESPN reporter Justina Anderson, she's coming to Undisputed now. So Skip is just bringing everybody from ESPN to Undisputed now. Rachel Nichols was at ESPN. Keyshawn was at ESPN. The Playmaker was at ESPN. Well, he was at ESPN/NFL Network. And now Justina Anderson is now coming to Undisputed. Shit, the only person that's left is Max. The only person left to show up on Undisputed is Max Kellerman. He the last one. And Jalen Rose, I think they're the last two left. As far as the top dogs that was on ESPN that got laid off, that should make a little cameo here or there on Undisputed. Now, listen, I was one of those people that said Skip's run just might be over when Uncle Shay left. I was one of those people that said that his run just might be over. I definitely owe Skip an apology now. I mean, I know I did on a previous episode, but I'm going to apologize again for doubting you. I definitely apologize for doubting you because, I mean, you are the godfather of sports debate. We not even disputing that. You know what I'm saying? He is the godfather of sport debate. Now, do I think he played a big part in helping build the brands of Stephen A. Smith and Shannon Sharp? Yep, he is. Do I think they're more popular than him? Yes, I do. But without these sport debate shows, their brands wouldn't have got bigger. Pause. So we owe that to Skip. Love him or hate him. And we have our reasons to love him, and we damn sure have our reasons to hate him. But we got to give him his respect. We got to give him his props where it's due. So, you know, from what I'm seeing from Undisputed so far, you know, there was some hiccup episodes here and there. I think the first two were hiccups for me. And, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, again, it came back Monday, right? So it's 2-2 right now. So let's see what happens on Friday. let's see what happens on Friday. You know, it's 5 days in a week. So today is Friday is the tiebreaker. Let's see. Let's see how the episode turns out on Friday. But as far as Lil Wayne goes, he had Lil Wayne on the first episode. Now, it was reported that Lil Wayne was only going to be there on Fridays. But I think the reason why he had Lil Wayne on the first return episode was because of the song. And he wanted to give Lil Wayne his flowers or whatnot. Me, personally, I prefer the first song. Me, personally. When Undisputed came back on Monday and 9:30 hits and then you hear the new song, you sitting there, you like, yeah, man, Lil Wayne just put on this fire joint to bring up Undisputed. And then you sit back and you saying to yourself, especially when Tuesday comes and Wednesday hits and Thursday hits and you hear the song again and you like, nah, this ain't it. I prefer the original. And that's how I feel. I feel like the original Undisputed theme song was better than this one, in my opinion. You know, Skip asked Lil Wayne which one he liked better. Of course he's gonna say the updated one is better. You know, Wayne said something about how, I'm paraphrasing, that of course you want, you basically want stuff to be better after the fact. Like, you want to get better after every song. But me, in my honest opinion, I think the original Undisputed theme song was better, in my opinion. I truly believe that original one was better. I'm not saying that this one is whack. I just think the original one was better. And then, you know, Skip really trying to cater to Lil Wayne. He had two of his artists from Young Money on Undisputed. You know, talking sports, which made no sense to me. But again, that's neither here nor there. That's like Skip really trying to show that he's somewhat hip hop. Like he going a little too far with it now, if you ask me. But whatever. But again, I'm enjoying what I'm seeing so far. Undisputed, I am. But I will say this though, I'm eager for First Take next week. I'm very interested in First Take next week because Shannon Sharp, Mondays and Tuesday, will be on First Take. So I'm very much excited for that. Very much excited for that. And Stephen A is actually going to be on Club Shay Shay on Friday. Well, I'm sure Uncle Shay is going to drop the episode on Friday. So, listen, I love the promotion. I love it. Every day on ESPN, every day on First Take, you know, they drop their little bit with Stephen A announcing Shannon Sharp is coming to First Take. And it just so happened that now they're both promoting that Stephen A is going to be on Club Shay Shay this weekend. I can't wait for that episode. I can't wait. I will definitely, that will definitely be in heavy rotation while I'm working on Friday. Because that's when the episode drops. The episode drops on Friday. So, whatever streaming platform that you listen to podcasts or whatever, on Friday, Club Shay Shay is back. Club Shay is back. And Stephen A. Smith will be a guest with Uncle Shay. So I'm very much looking forward to that. Now, before I go, again, I said I am not doing a Would You Rather this episode. I think it's fitting that, you know, this episode I give a tribute to, you know, one of the falling superstars in wrestling. RIP to Bray Wyatt. For those of y'all that don't know who that is,
Wyndham Lawrence Rotunda. Hopefully I said his last name right. AKA Bray Wyatt. He unexpectedly passed away last week at the age of 36 years old. Now, I'm not even going to lie to you. We had lost a legend the day before in Terry Funk. Death is death, right? The Terry Funk one, we've been hearing for months that his health was declining. So when his death hit, I'm not gonna say that it didn't hit, because it did, because I'm a wrestling fan, right? Especially when it's wrestlers that you grew up watching, whether they're from your era or not. If you hear of a wrestler that passed, it's going to hit you, right? But the Bray Wyatt one, man, I'm not going to lie. This Bray Wyatt one, I'm not even going to lie. Like, it still stings. Still stings, because it was so unexpected. Now, I knew he was out of wrestling for a while. I just thought it was because they had no direction for him. They didn't know what to do with his character. Then, weeks ago, you hear about, you know, he's supposed to be making a return soon. He was recovering from being sick. They were saying something about how he had, you know, just a few months ago, he had COVID. Earlier this year, he had COVID. Then they're saying that how he experienced a series of heart complications in the months leading up to him passing. They said a doctor recommended a heart defibrillator. And when they found his body, he was not wearing it. It was being reported that he told his girlfriend, for those of y'all that are wrestling fans, he was in a relationship with JoJo, who used to be a ring announcer for WWE, and who was also on WWE Total Divas that used to be on the E! Channel. You know, this is a report from TMZ, is that, you know, Bray told her that he was going to take a nap Thursday, and she became concerned when he heard his alarm clock going off for about an hour, and it never stopped. So, my heart goes out to JoJo and their kids. This is unfortunate. Very unfortunate. Again, I'm a wrestling fan. So, when a wrestler passes, especially one that you love like that, which Bray Wyatt I love, you know, he was definitely one of my favorite wrestlers, very much. Just the character, I remember I went to a WWE event, I believe it was 2015 or 2016. And for those of y'all that have been to wrestling events, especially WWE events, like there's no other feeling in the world, right? Bray Wyatt had this thing where his fans, even though he was a heel at the time, he called us his Fireflies. And what the Fireflies would do is, when he would come out, you know, the light that he would have when he comes to the ring, us fans would light our phones up. Well, you know, whether we'll have the screen on or we'll have the flashlight on, the whole arena will be a flock of Fireflies, basically lighting up the stadium, lighting up the arena when Bray Wyatt came out. And, I mean, watching it on TV was one thing. To see it, you know, live and direct inside Barclays Stadium for a live WWE event was something else. And again, like, it's unfortunate, man. It's very much unfortunate. It sucks. I think shit. If I had to think of, I'm trying to think of a death that hit me in wrestling unexpectedly that hit mad hard prior to this. Shit, I might have to go back to Owen Hart, Eddie Guerrero. Umaga, like I might have to go far back to those, like the depths that were unexpected. Jim the Anvil Neidhart, Natalya's father, that was unexpected. It's like, damn, yo, like, man. And listen, I remember when he came back last year. Because he was out for some time. And then he made his return. And he was on SmackDown. And that promo that he gave. Like, I don't think he was in character when he spoke. I think that shit literally came from the heart. Like, for anybody that's, you know, on YouTube. Or goes on YouTube. I believe he made his return October of last year. It was a SmackDown episode. Because remember, you know, he was a superstar for SmackDown. He wasn't a superstar for Raw at the time. He was a superstar for SmackDown. And if you listen to that promo that he gave, which I believe he was one of the best at, for that matter. The promo he gave, like, he said something, and I remember it. He was like, he was speaking to the fans. He was like, you were there when I was weak, when I was vulnerable, when I was down. So I just wanted to say thank you. You all saved my life. He was talking to the WWE Universe. Whether you was in the building or watching it. Like, he wasn't in character for that shit. I believe he was really speaking from his heart on that shit. So that last promo, it hits even more now. Like, if you go back and listen to that promo, it hits even more now that unfortunately he's passed away. Very much. Very much. It sucks, man. Like, it really, it does, man. It does. Like, I'm not even gonna hold you. I'm not even gonna hold you. And then you see the amount of tributes that take place. Like, WWE put like a almost like a 35-minute video of superstars paying tribute to him. Whether it was Bayley, whether it was Drew McIntyre, whether it was plenty of superstars, plenty, rightfully so, honoring Bray Wyatt. And then you see the SmackDown episode last week where Eric Rowan, who's not even with WWE, he was there for the tribute. Braun Strowman, who was a part of the Wyatt family, like, if you go back and watch that tribute, the cameraman made it their business to have the camera zoom in on them two specifically. Now, yeah, they showed other superstars here and there, but for the most part, the two that they had their eyes on was Braun Strowman and Eric Rowan because they were a part of the Wyatt family. And now it's unfortunate that two members of that Wyatt family have passed on, which would be Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper. And then to cap off the tribute with the 10 count, and then all the lights turn off, and then you see that rocking chair that Bray Wyatt was sitting in. That's when it hit me. That's when it hit me. I don't usually shed tears. I don't usually, you know, eyes get watery or you know, tears drop out my eyes and whatnot. But in that moment, that's when it did. Because that's when it hit me that, yo, Bray really is gone. That rocking chair was significant to Bray Wyatt. Very significant. Whether it was the backstage promos he gave, the video package promos he gave, when he was in the stadium giving the promo and sat in the middle of the ring and he was in the rocking chair, or if he was by the entrance where the superstars come out rocking in the chair, talking his shit. At that particular moment, that's when it hit me that Bray was gone. So again, you know, and the crazy thing is this, to think that Undertaker whispered something in his ear a few months ago. I believe it was for a Raw anniversary. And people had asked Bray, what did Undertaker whisper in his ear? He said he's taking that with him to the grave. We didn't think that within a few months, that's exactly where Bray Wyatt would be going. So we will never know what it was that Taker said to him, unless Taker says it. But a lot of superstars since his passing have done nothing but tributes. You know, this episode of Raw, a lot of superstars had, you know, the word Bray, you know, had a band stitched on them that said Bray's name. So, yeah, this one hurts. This one really hurts. Now, I know that sounds crazy saying, yo, this one hurts. Like, oh, this superstar's death didn't matter much. Listen, I ain't gonna lie to you. There were some superstars that passed. You know, of course, you don't want to hear of nobody dying. Your heart, you know, your heart aches for them and their family. But then there's those superstars that you just truly, truly loved unconditionally, where when you heard of their passing, it hit you. Like, it really, really hit you. And this was one of those. This was for sure one of them. So again, you know, rest in peace to Bray Wyatt. You know, rest in peace to Bray Wyatt, man. Wyndham Lawrence Rotunda. My condolences to Bo Dallas, who's his brother. Barry Wyndham, who's his uncle. I mean, if you remember wrestling back in the day, IRS was his name. That's his father. So, you know, condolences to the Rotunda family. Condolences to JoJo. And condolences to their four children. So I think it's only fitting that, you know, I basically end this, you know, with a moment of silence for the departed Bray Wyatt. Love you, and we'll miss you, Bray Wyatt. It's a wrap for this episode. I want to thank everybody for their continued support. Keep it going, keep it flowing. Y'all know where y'all can find y'all, boy. I am on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Podbean. There's a couple of places you can find your boy. You can also find me on Facebook, Dre Day. You can also find me on Instagram, Dre Day 1985, or
Sportswear with Dre Day podcast. The link is in the bio. And Twitter, Dre Day 1985. Once again, thank y'all for y'all continued support. Keep it going, keep it flowing. And closing, y'all know how this goes. This has been another episode of Sportswear with Dre Day podcast. Labor Day weekend is here. So for everybody out there, be safe, enjoy yourself, especially if you're in the New York area. If you're from my city in New York, especially Labor Day weekend, be safe out there. Be safe out there because it gets crazy out there in those streets on Labor Day weekend, for sure, for sure. So everybody out there, enjoy your Labor Day weekend. Stay safe. Be safe. God bless. Peace and love. This episode is over. Catch you on the flip side. Peace. What up, what up, what up? It's your man Dre Day, and I have a PSA announcement for y'all. Did y'all know that only 38% of African Americans were able to identify financial terms on the PFN Index, an annual financial survey? Why is that? Because we're never given the tools to succeed in the financial sector. Will with American Classic Agency has been designing financial maps for his clients to succeed for over a decade for clients on both coasts. With Will, you will be able to create a game plan to get out of debt and create the wealth that you and your family deserve. If you're interested, please contact Will at willspady@gmail.com. That's willspady@gmail.com, or call him at 443-810-0384.